Well, it's happening. Again, for the third time. The rapture is happening again for the third time this year. This time, we are 1,000,000,000% sure. We are 1,000,000,000,000 with a B, percent sure that it's happening this time. October 16th and 17th is the new date for the rapture. Yes, I know you heard it was September 23rd and 24th. And yes, I know you guys are going to call me a mocker and scoffer, but I'm going to show you today, I'm going to explain to you why I'm not what you think I am. Hey, Chris said he's worried I got raptured because I'm late. Chris Rosebro said he's worried I got raptured because I was late to my live stream. Don't worry, man. I'm left behind. So I know that some of you are thinking mockers and scoffers. Listen, that's not what scripture says, okay? Please hang on. Please hold on. Control your offense and just listen, because the wounds of a friend are better than the kisses of the enemy, and the enemy's been kissing you. So as weird as that is to say out loud. Okay, the rapture was supposed to be September 23rd and 24th, according to Joshua Malakala. It didn't happen. The date passed. They did a 12-hour live stream. They tried to wait it out, and they wanted to be on camera when it happened, which, honestly, if it happened for real, that would have been pretty cool. Then you would have thought there'd be mass repentance, apologies, people going, wow, when I thought I heard from God, I wasn't hearing from God. I better rethink what I think it means to hear from God and what I think a confirmation really is. You didn't hear that for the most part. Some people did, but at least not out loud, not publicly. Most people didn't do that. Instead, what you got was recalculating. And they said, no, it's the Gregorian and Julian calendars. There's a new rapture date, and the new rapture date is October 6th and 7th, or October 7th and 8th, depending on which video you watched. And so the new rapture date went out, and Joshua Malakala came out and he said, new rapture date. And he was 1,000,000,000% sure it was September 23rd and 24th. And he's 1,000,000,000% sure it's October 7th and 8th. I think he meant 6 and 7 because I think he got it wrong. But then nothing happened. Nothing happened again. Okay, I've already covered this. This is just backtracking old stuff. Now, I predicted at the time that he was going to go quiet online, and he was going to watch people's YouTube videos and watch people's social media posts and look for somebody who was going to explain the next rapture date. And he found that, okay? And now he's predicted it again. I'll show you his prediction. I will show you. Today's the day, October 17th, 16th and 17th. This is the day, right now. Although most of them are thinking they're in trouble because they are going off of like a Jerusalem timeline, and oh, it's already passed, and now it's looking like it ain't so good. But there's still hope. False hope. Harmful hope. Bad hope. In fact, I'll tell you about a family that was killed over this kind of thing, story I just recently heard about. But here's the kind of thing we have now. You recognize this guy? This gentleman here, he makes YouTube videos, and he was so excited because he believed Joshua the first time and the second time. And now what has he got to say after two failed rapture attempts?
Hey, what's up, guys? Haven't made a video in a while.
You're misunderstanding what mocking and scoffing means. In the scripture, God mocks and scoffs at people. Okay, inherently, mocking and scoffing are not actual evils in and of themselves. Mocking and scoffing truths of God, that's what you get in trouble for. Mocking and scoffing good and righteous and proper and holy things, that's what you get in trouble for. Elijah mocked the prophets of Baal. He mocked the prophets of Asherah. He mocked, you know, maybe your God's in the bathroom. Cut yourselves more. Yell louder. And he literally scoffed and mocked at them, and it was holy and righteous. You're laughing at those who are trying to tell you, sir, you keep lying about the return of Jesus publicly, and that's a really serious offense against God. Very serious. I'm being told my video stopped, but I'm going to keep going, and we'll see what happens, because I have no backup plan.
But I still believe it's going to happen, and why I still believe that Joshua is sent from the Lord. So
I don't want to hear the whole story. It's too long, and I'll probably get a copyright strike. So he's convinced it's real. Joshua's going to, he's got it again. I have a playlist that I'm looking at right now with over 100 videos in the playlist of people, almost all of them, who've been supportive of Joshua from the very beginning. I've got the playlist here. You can kind of see the edge of it. Maybe. No, I guess you can't. That's what I'm looking at right now. There are so many people that think that he's right. Now, here's another one. Here's another one.
Hey, guys. I told you I'd come back and, if the dates kind of passed, that we'd keep watching and keep looking.
Sarah, you're telling me that you guys can't hear the other guy, and I'm glad you're letting me know. On my end, on the software end, I actually see. It shows me that you can hear.
The dates kind of passed.
So I just have to continue because there's actually nothing I could change in the settings.
And maybe try to understand what's going on. And so I put this together. I'm going to kind of go through it. Try to kind of go quick so the video.
Okay, I do see something there. I see the videos like it's like coming in and out. Okay, I'm going to summarize for you. This is really lame, but I'll summarize for you what he's saying. He's basically saying, another guy is saying here, the rapture confirmation, Brother Joshua, and the 21-day delay. So it's a three-week delay because Daniel prayed, God, you know, answer me, what does this dream mean? And it took 3 weeks before Gabriel shows up and he was delayed. And so Jesus has like left heaven and he's now delayed in picking us up. So then this is a way of saying September 23rd, 24th, that was the correct date and we're waiting like 3 weeks. That's one of the ways in which people have tried to work this out. Another one is the Enochian calendar. The Enochian calendar. New rapture date, here we go. There's so many videos that are these people doing these things. And hold on a second, guys. It cuts in and out. Thank you, Sarah. So yeah, I'm aware now. This stuff is crazy. Rapture, I come quickly. Hold on. Delay is not denial. Here's another guy.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Jay with Apostolic Perfecting Institute coming on to bring you.
We're going to hear more. I have a specific video from him. I'll play with you guys later. But you get this. Here's another guy who says, never give up hope. Yeah, you got to keep waiting. There's another one that says this is actually a compilation, Berean Perspective Apologetics, who does not support Joshua Malakala. He's gathered a whole bunch of videos where there's people, I have it muted now just because the audio is cutting in and out, but there's a whole bunch of people saying that he was right. Joshua was right. We figured out the new date. Third time. This is high-level delusion. This is cult-like behavior. We're going to look at some of these videos. I will give you the audio. Don't worry. I'm just giving you a little preview here with some of these. Yeah. So, got it. Stop texting unless you absolutely have to. Because it's killing me. All right. So, Jesus' return is now. That's this gentleman I showed you. He was just saying God revealed to him in a personal revelation. Now, I have some other videos I want to show you guys. And let me walk through some of those, including a gentleman who specifically addresses me, and he thinks that I, Mike Winger, that I've somehow, you know, sinned in this, in the way that I've handled this issue. And you would be surprised to know that the people who have been predicting the rapture, who we're going to look at here, a lot of them are very offended that we are so strong in our repudiation of this whole thing that they're doing, this date setting thing that they're doing. And they have responses to this and they have challenges to me and to you and to those of us who, the majority of every Christian who's ever lived in the entire history of Christianity, who would say, hey, stop, you're embarrassing yourselves and you're embarrassing Jesus and you're hearing something other than God's voice when you think you have these confirmations. It may have been a demonic delusion. I think it probably was, right? That it was the way it was widespread, the number of people with visions, I think it was actually demonic and not just people getting excited. But we'll look at that. The pushback against me, some of the stuff that you're getting. This is one of them right here saying that Jesus left on the 24th. Joshua was right all along. Jesus, he left heaven. He's just on his way to earth. He's like up in the clouds, like almost here. Let's watch this.
That Joshua dude saying how the Lord told him that he's coming for his church on September 23rd, 24th. Indeed, what if it plays out? Indeed, he left and he's coming. He's coming for us currently. He did leave on September 23rd.
He did leave. I mean, it was a little quiet, but he did leave on September 23rd, 24th. He's coming for his church. It already happened. He already left. He's on his way here. This is the thing that they're believing. Here's another one.
Guess what? We're still here. You know, the rapture hasn't happened yet, but you know what, though? The tribulation hasn't started yet either.
That's right.
Right?
Hey, that's a good thing. That is a good
thing. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Bob's absolutely right. You know, rapture hasn't happened, but the tribulation hasn't started either. We haven't seen an Antichrist arise, so.
My heart goes out to these guys. I'm not mad at them. I'm just asking for accountability and responsibility. So I don't know how many of them, but I know at least some of these guys were out there telling everybody, this is the date. This is the date. Get ready, get ready, get ready. And the responsible thing to do now is to say, guys, one, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I misled you. I'm sorry that I may have hurt you. Two, I will not do this again. Three, here is where I went wrong. Especially for your own sake, you need to know where you went wrong, misinterpreting scripture, misinterpreting signs, because it's going to happen to you again. Rapture panic is going to increase over the next few years. It's just because the date setters are going to really trip out about the 2,000-year anniversary of everything in the New Testament.
Yes, we're still here, but the restrainer is still doing a wonderful job of restraining the wrath of God. And, you know, things are a little bit crazy, but we got the Holy Spirit. We can handle it, kids. I mean, you know, this isn't that bad. We have the Comforter with us, and that's the power of the resurrection living within us. So
all those things can be very true for a believer to say, but they have nothing to do with the failed rapture prediction and the responsibility you have to repent and publicly address it and learn from it.
Yep, we're still here, man. Don't let anyone take your crown. Don't let the devil take your joy. Don't pay attention to the mockers and scoffers. Let's keep preaching the gospel. Let's keep doing our thing, occupying and redeeming the time until he comes.
Do you hear the pot shot against people like me? Guys, these guys all, I mean, most of them know that I made a video. That's not arrogance. I'm just being honest, right? Because I'm not arrogant about it. That's nothing I take pride in. But they know I made a video. I'm a mocker and scoffer, they say. Again, in scripture, mockers and scoffers mock God and they scoff at God. You were not being led by God. You are being led by either yourself, your own dreams, misinterpretations of scripture, or actually Satan. These are the only options available, and it's actually most likely a combination of all of those things. And so, yes, we should rightly point out how foolish, in the right meaning of the word, how foolish it was for this whole movement to be happening and for it to be done in the name of Jesus. And so now there is just countless videos of people making fun of you guys that they're mockers and scoffers in a sense, but they're actually mocking you, not necessarily Christianity. Now I'm not doing that. You want to pretend that I'm the people on watching TikTok videos making fun of and ridiculing and really harassing everybody that blew it. I'm tame compared to all those guys. So it's just wrong. But this is a way of circling the wagons and turning it into victim mentality, right? This is part of what I think leads to a cult-like mentality. I think it's a lot of people who don't even really go to churches, the majority of them, I'd imagine. And they get this online club, and then now they're starting to, instead of learn the lesson and disperse, they're insulating and they're becoming victims. We're being mocked at, we're being scoffed, and we really hurt. We're really hurt by this. Let me give you another video talking about that.
God wants to the wise virgins.
God wants us to be wise virgins, he says.
God wants you to know, beloved, this is to the wise virgins. God wants you to know that it doesn't matter about the mocking. It doesn't matter about the scoffing. This is.
I'm telling you, every video they have uses mocking and scoffing, mockers and scoffers. It's a mantra. It's a brainwashing thing. It's not healthy. It's not healthy. When Elijah mocked the prophets of Baal, could they have simply responded by saying, you're a mocker and scoffer, Elijah. We're hurt. We're going to ignore you and press on. Yeah, they could have, but that would have been really unwise.
The crown of humiliation that we must all wear right now, okay? He says that when they're going to also be given a sign, those that mock and those that scoff us, they're going to also be given a sign, just like Christ was given a sign when the veil was ripped in two. The sign that they'll be given will be our rapture. Amen. Let me say it again. The sign that they'll be given will be our rapture. Then those who mock us will then say, truly, these were the bride of Christ. So
what? I'm pretty sure I'm included in the mockers and scoffers in this. So the guy's still saying the rapture's coming. We know it's coming. We know we knew when it was coming, but we were wrong three times now in within a month period. And God is going to vindicate us, and we have to wear a crown of humiliation. I'm gonna act like this thing we did was righteous, and we're enduring persecution for Jesus because of the false predictions in the name of Jesus we made. It's crazy, guys. When you falsely prophesy in the name of God and you're called out on it, you are not bearing a crown of humiliation that is in honor of Christ. That's not how that works. When Jeremiah confronted false prophets in his day, I don't know if they went into the back rooms and commiserated and said, Jeremiah is mean to me and I feel bad because I have to wear this crown of humiliation, but God will vindicate me. No, you were a false prophet. He's a bad guy. Here's another doubling down on that mockers and scoffers are actually have the spirit of Jezebel from the same gentleman.
So let's just stop right there for a second, because I want you to understand these chief priests also join in the mocking. What are we seeing right now? We are seeing people in the body of Christ. We are seeing well-known religious leaders, right?
That I have been probably the most well-known guy who's been vocal against them. So I'm going to take this as reasonably referring to me what he's about to say.
They are mocking the body of Christ. They are mocking those of us who believe and who are waiting for Christ's return.
Pause right there. You crazy guy. If you're going to be like, but that's mockery, Mike. I'm offended. Okay, go ahead. I don't care. Listen, you have just conflated rapture date setters with the body of Christ waiting and trusting in the return of Jesus. That is wrong. That is mean to the rest of us, as if I am not waiting on the return of Jesus with great hope and expectation. What they want to do is use a euphemism to talk about rapture date setting and predicting when Christ returns and pretend that it's just expectation of Christ's return in general, which it's not.
Okay, repent, okay? Because I don't care what your title is. I don't care how long you've been serving in the ministry. You need to repent, because what spirit is it that you have that would allow you to mock at your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ who are hoping for the Lord's return?
He's going to answer this question in a second. He's going to tell you what spirit Mike Winger has.
I'm going to tell you what type of spirit that is. That is a Jezebel demonic spirit, because the Jezebel spirit is the spirit that does the mocking, right? So anytime.
This is absolute nonsense. People need to stop saying Jezebel spirit. Anybody who says Jezebel spirit, I've heard it so many times in my research into abuse, spiritual abuse. You're literally saying that I have a demonic evil spirit that Jesus hates, and that's what, because I've said stop false prophesying in Jesus's name. I told you guys, this is cult level stuff.
We are mocking someone, right, who was putting their hope in the Lord.
Nope, they were date setting. You're lying. They were date setting. They were taking people's hopes that are in Jesus, and they were turning those hopes to specific dates. I'll tell you after this clip, I'm going to share with you guys a story to help you understand why this is so dangerous.
You need to really examine your heart and determine what's in it, because it's not Christ. So go ahead and repent if you've been mocking God's bride, okay? Because there's no reason that anybody should be mocking someone who's been placing.
Yeah, what's worse? Somebody going like this. Here, I'm gonna show you. Malakala, do-do-do-do-do. Malakala, do-do-do-do. Which I did, by the way, because nobody can remember this guy's last name. And I thought, how do I make everybody remember Joshua Malakela's last name? That little ditty, you will never forget his name now. You'll never forget it. That was actually the reason. It wasn't to demean, to mean him. If he was my buddy, I would have said done the same thing. So it wasn't even demeaning. But what's worse, that or saying that someone has a demonic spirit that God hates? I don't know. Which one's more of an offense? Is it because I laughed? The laughter itself is so offensive, but saying that someone has a Jezebel spirit is not. This is ridiculous. This is ridiculous stuff. And I want to get in front of it, because these guys are saying it to each other. They're circling the wagons and they're not learning the lessons. And I care about them. Humble yourself. Just admit it. How hard is it? You just go, I can survive this. I'm sorry, Lord. I misinterpreted scripture. I made predictions that were not from you. I saw visions that I thought were visions from you and they weren't. And I confused people and I misled people. And I'm not going to double down. I'm going to repent. I'm going to ask for forgiveness and I'm going to seek restoration, because I know that the Christians will give me that. Not that hard. Not that hard. Those of you who predicted the rapture and you've come out and you've like really repented, 100% forgiveness. 100% forgiveness. Those making excuses, you're actually setting yourself up and others up for more pain in the future. Now, here's the story. Today, I was visiting a friend, right? And it's a couple. And the wife was telling me a story about when she was in Honduras when she was 12. There in Honduras when she was 12, it was just when the Y2K was hitting. Some of you guys remember that Y2K. This was the year 2000 came, and it was a big hullabaloo. There's a word I never get to use. It was a big hullabaloo, a big thingamajingle. And people were predicting that in the turnover of the new millennium, right, 99 to 2000, that was going to be the rapture of the church. Now, it wasn't that big, but it was definitely in the air. Like, I heard people talk about it. I heard whispers about it. I heard people talking about, like, the 6 days of creation and the seventh day is the day of rest and Christ will return, all that stuff. She was hearing it in Honduras, too, but it was really loud there. There were real predictions, real active predictions. This caused multiple families that she personally knew, she was 12, to kill themselves. Kill themselves. A couple who there was a daughter who was her age. There was a family. There was multiple kids. There was three kids. There was a daughter, though, that was her age, about 12 years old, and two older kids. The family, they don't know exactly what happened, if they drank poison or something first, but the whole family, the husband, the wife, the children, the pets, all dead. And the people didn't realize what had happened until they saw the house on fire. And they went in there and they put the fire out and found the family. A false rapture prediction did that. When you tell people that Jesus is coming back, it is no small thing. And you are responsible for the way they react to those kinds of claims. There are people who went and did horrible things, embarrassing things, dangerous things with their money, dangerous things with their lives. They lost careers. They gave up their jobs. They did big things because of your false predictions. These things really matter. When you speak in the name of God and you're wrong, that is blasphemy. How can it be anything else? It can't be like, well, I tried. When you say, the Lord showed me a vision, I know when the rapture will be, and you are wrong, you had a false vision, not a good try, not a great example of faith. You had a false vision and you misled people and you brought them harm. So you have to repent, not just say, oops, at least we're hopeful. Stop mocking us. You're hurting our feelings. At least we're watching for Jesus. Do we all are? You're lying about what happened. This is a big deal. And this is the only reason why I'm rubbing faces in it in a little bit here in a sense, because I want us to learn the lessons, because it's not even close to over. This stuff is going to happen more and more and more, because the 2000 year, the things, date setters don't have a real vision from God. They don't have a real revelation from Christ. And there's no evidence in scripture saying when Jesus is going to return with like date specificity. Okay. With dates. There's none of that. So there's a lot of speculation that goes on, and those people will definitely cling on to the 2000 year return or 2000 year anniversary of everything that we see in scripture in the New Testament. So you're going to be able to think like, oh, here's when the Mount of Transfiguration was, or here's when he overturned the money changers' tables. And here's when Jesus died. Here's when he rose from the dead. Maybe that's will be the rapture of the church, or it'll be at Pentecost. When we'll be caught up, when the church began is when it will be taken away. And this is even if you're right about your eschatology. None of us should be that confident about our particular eschatology, just the return of Jesus. These are lessons we've got to learn for the sake of the body of Christ. We got to learn. All right, let's look at the next video.
I just want to encourage you guys right now. I want to encourage you guys right now to keep on believing, keep on hoping, keep on anticipating the Lord's return. This
again, the euphemisms. We've all been believing and hoping and anticipating for the Lord's return. You've been date setting.
This ain't about a date, guys.
Yes, it is about a date. If it wasn't about a date, this whole movement wouldn't exist and this whole conversation wouldn't be happening.
This is about continuously looking for our Lord's return, being wise like the wise virgins, okay?
Like the wise virgins. So the parallel, they're called watchmen. There's a whole community of people that do this stuff called watchmen. Now, some of them, look, there's some room in my mind for looking at current events and asking genuine questions. Like, hey, is there going to be a third temple in the events that we see? I mean, in my mind, we still don't want to be too arrogant because, yes, there maybe we see a temple built and we're seeing that connect, because I'm premillennial, right? I think the stuff in Revelation is going to happen still in the future. So if I saw a temple built, I would go, hey, this does seem connected to what we describe in the Bible. But there's nothing saying that temple won't be built 100 years before the events that we read about will happen. 500 years, 15,000 years. There's nothing telling us this, because that temple could be rebuilt, destroyed, another one, a third one, an eighth one. And then it happens. We just don't know. Okay. So having oil in your lamp, that's about you being filled with the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, living a godly life. It's not about you setting dates. It's not about you figuring out the perfect times. There can be some value in being aware of the season we're in and all that kind of thing, but the date setting's got to stop. The date setting has to stop. You're a date setter. You're a life destroyer. That's what you are. You're a faith ruiner. That's what you do. You may not admit it, but that's the impact that it has for a lot of people. And so it has to be dealt with. All right, let's look at some more of these clips, and we'll look as well later at the one where I'm personally being rebuked by someone. And I'm not offended by that. I just want to respond to the criticism because I know it might help someone in that camp. So if you're in the camp and you've made it this far in the video, thank you. I'm so glad. I don't want to clap loud next to a microphone, right? It's like the dumbest clap in the world. But anyways, yeah, I'm glad you're still watching. And I hope that you hear, despite your offense, I hope you can hear the words I'm saying. All right, let's look at this next one.
Please do not ever give up hope, even when these high watch dates pass. Guys, some dates smell better than others to us because we are trying to figure it out. But ultimately, we don't know God's calendar. Our calendars have been messed with so much. We've been lied to all our lives. But we know that God said we will know the season, and we are certainly.
So the few things, there's so much stuff packed in right here. There's an inner like culture of these watchers. They do the date setting. They've been wrong. This particular group, like the Watchmen, right? They've been wrong many times. And they've learned to like lower their expectations. So sometimes they'll actually say, it's going to be this day, we're sure. But when they've done it wrong many, many times, they start to learn the habit of saying, it's a high watch time. It's a high watch time. And this allows them to continue setting dates and having that expectation and that excitement, which is very addictive, that level of excitement. But the fruit of that in your life is not so great. You are not likely planning for retirement, planning for the needs of your spouse when you pass, for your kids and grandkids. You're less likely to do those things. You're not likely having long-term plans for how you can build the kingdom of Christ in this world because you're just watching to get out of here. And that's not like a real healthy perspective to be in. But there's other stuff he says here too. And he says, you know, some dates smell better than others, and keep watching. When scripture talks about us watching, this community interprets that as trying to find the date. Whereas I think when the Bible talks about watching, if you read those passages in context, it has to do with living righteously and not giving into worldly sins, right? When the master comes and he finds him, you know, lazy and he's drinking and he's beaten, he's being unloving and cruel to other people. So I'm not walking in righteousness is the thing that means I'm not watching. I'm not being watchful. They take watchful to mean something very different than what we see in the text of scripture, and to their own harm. Yeah, to their own heart.
In the season, we just saw what is happening in Egypt right now with the peace deals, and Trump's going over there to sign it at the Red Sea Resort. Come on, guys, in the city of peace. We can't make this stuff up. We know what time we're in. We are close. No,
here's the thing. You don't know what time you're in because you always think you're in the right time. It's eventually you'll be right. But you will have been wrong for decades or hundreds or thousands of years before you ever were right, which is, in other words, means you had no idea.
He's coming to get us, and he's revealing these things, all these things to us for a reason.
Okay, that I want to hang on. The stubborn belief is that God himself is still revealing. The people who believed it was September 23rd, God did reveal that to us. When it didn't happen, God still was the one who revealed it. We're confused why he confused us, but it was still God. October 6th and 7th, this was God, guys. God had us expecting that date. Oh, it didn't happen. I wonder why God wanted me to believe that. October 16th, 17th, right now, passing by with not a rapture. No, he's floating. And God is the one who revealed it to us. This is the stubborn belief that I want to confront. And I want to say, like, look, the wounds of a friend are better than the kisses of an enemy. Here's the wound of a friend for you if you fell for this. The revelation you thought God showed you, God didn't actually show it to you. you need to be able to trust the word, but separate it from these visions and these dreams and these prophecy things that are not from God. The confirmations you thought were God, you have a wrong way of assessing what's from God. Now, this doesn't mean that everything you believe is wrong. It means you have to stop and center yourself, because you will spend half your life explaining why the thing that God said didn't happen. And it will not only happen with the rapture, it'll happen with things related to your business, things related to your kids, things related to your ministry, things related to all kinds of things. I'm saying this to someone who cares about you and knows that I'm losing the respect of a significant number of people while I say this. I'm okay with that. For your sake, stop and think to yourself, I need a new way of understanding whether God is speaking to me or not. And it needs to start by me saying the only safe word from God is in the text of Scripture, that place alone. And these special interpretations where you take watch and you interpret it to mean look for dates, that's not what it means. Read the context. You take the parable of the virgins and you think it means looking for dates. And you're like, that's not what it means. Look at the context. You're in a sliver of Christianity who's setting dates, and you got to move out of that. It's a bad place to be. It's not healthy for you. It's not healthy for your kids. Half your kids will become atheists because they can see more clearly than you that you say stuff in God's name that's not true.
Okay. And to all you that are saying you can't know or you shouldn't be watching, guys, you're literally...
Again, who says you shouldn't be watching? Only if you misinterpret watch to mean date setting, and instead you should interpret it to mean I'm living a life that is holy, that is sanctified, that is focused on Jesus, that is on mission. If you live that life, you are watching. You're ready for the return of Christ. That's what that means. But for those of us who disagree with you, you have a message.
We're going against Scripture. Revelation 3:3 says, Remember thou how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come upon thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. What's the opposite of that, guys? If you are watching, you will know. So this is why we watch, all right? This is Jesus speaking to John in his glorified state, by the way.
You see the twisting of Scripture? What is the opposite of this Scripture? Do you realize Revelation 3 was written to a group of people who were alive at the time? Sardis. Revelation 3 was written to people who were alive at the time that it was written. If the opposite of I'll come when you're not ready is, if you watch, I'll come and you will be ready and you'll know the hour I'm coming, then it would be the people in Sardis that would have known that hour 2,000 years ago. It's a misinterpretation of Scripture, and it's an obvious one. It's an easy one. You read it in context. To the angel of the church in Sardis, write this. We know it's actually about real events that were happening at the time. He writes, the only usage of the word Jezebel that's used in the Bible, other than the time, it's about an actual specific lady in the Old Testament whose name is Jezebel. It's used metaphorically, I think, in Revelation when he says, you allow this woman Jezebel to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and going after demons and stuff. That this was allowed because it was actually happening in a real church with real people who were really alive at the time. So, yes, you can apply it to you by going, what principles do I learn in Revelation 3:3? But first you have to apply it to the original audience. And if your application doesn't work for them, you can't use that application for you. That's good hermeneutics. That's just good Bible study. Stop twisting the Scriptures. Here's another video from the same gentleman.
And also, when it comes to everyone throwing Joshua under the bus for this, guys, I do not like what is happening in the body of Christ right now.
Joshua was a false prophet. He lied and manipulated to the world. He did it over and over again. When he was asked if he was sorry, he said, no, I'm not sorry. Because saying sorry would imply that he did something wrong. He lied and lied and led people astray and embarrassed the name of Jesus and hurt a lot of believers. And you're like, you guys are mean to him. Well, we should be mean to him. That's appropriate.
We should not be throwing a brother under the bus.
I'd throw him under the bus. If I had a real bus, I might not drive over him with it, but I'll throw him under the metaphorical one. Absolutely.
All right. We were excited for many reasons, not just because of Joshua. We had so many people in the body of Christ, including myself, having personal confirmations from the Lord.
Right. See, that just means more people have to get under that bus, right? Humble themselves, get low, and repent. More people, not just Joshua, you two.
Part about Feast of Trumpets, okay? The math was lining up. We were very excited. Feast of Trumpets is like the Super Bowl of High Watch dates, guys. We were all excited for many good reasons, and 2025 being the year, and Israel being 77.
I want to say what I said earlier is they still think they're right. Even though the date passed, they're like, I was still justified in my wrong conclusion. Nothing's wrong with my methodology. Nothing's wrong with the dates and the math checking out. Nothing's wrong with me having high watch dates that fail over and over and over and over again. There's nothing wrong with that methodology. I'm still justified in the false beliefs that led me to think that there was going to be a rapture and tell the world there was going to be one when there wasn't one. That's a high level of delusion that's going on there. You're still justified even after? Yes, that's why there are three dates now. And there may well be a fourth, right? Because, you know, maybe man's messed with the calendar. Or, you know, maybe we reinterpret the meaning of it. Is Joshua going to be done? It just depends on how many people will entertain his insanity. If enough people will entertain it, he will not be done. If everybody says, that's it, you're through, you're a false prophet, we're going to mark and avoid you and tell everybody about you, then he'll be done.
So many things were lining up and looking so good. And it looks like it still is within that window. We don't know the Feast of Trumpets on God's calendar, all right? So maybe it's still there.
We don't know the Feast of Trumpets on God's calendar. Again, with the goalpost shifting. Now there's an invisible calendar of God, right? God supposedly told Joshua it would be September 23rd. He then added to it, it's 10 days from now. I'm speaking this, these aren't my words, these are God's words. It's 10 days from now. God's calendar cannot change this. Literally can't change this. When it happens, he's like, it'll happen today. That's not a calendar thing. That's a time period thing. So that's not an option to pretend that God has a different calendar. This is all lies. It is all just adding more pain and more hardship and more embarrassment to Jesus. But it's clear in scripture that you're not supposed to do this. And it always has been. So repent. Go back. Repent. Stop pretending like you're all hurt because people are asking you to be accountable for the fake rapture date that you guys were promoting.
We also don't know that Feast of Trumpets is going to be for the rapture. We don't know that. We're assuming it because you know, it says the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. But not necessarily, it doesn't mean that Feast of Trumpets has to be the rapture either, okay?
Right. This is the attempt to have no accountability. I will have high expectation. I will say the math checks out. I will do all these things, but I just want you to know I have no accountability on these issues, right? It's all just good stuff. If I'm wrong, I was right to expect it anyways. This is a kind of self-blinding hard-heartedness that I don't know how to fix. I can only put it on display and hope that some people get saved from it. It's very unlikely one of these gentlemen who I'm showing you will actually learn anything from this because they've already hardened themselves to it so much.
We also prophesy in part, you know, just because God told Joshua something, doesn't mean we're all going to understand that at once, all right? So things are being slowly revealed. What's not?
We'll look at this verse in a second. We prophesy in part. Is that an excuse for the fake prophecy? No, it's not. We'll look at it in a moment.
Throw a brother or sister under the bus when they come to us with these things. He clearly felt led to share it. And I haven't seen any bad fruits out of Joshua to say otherwise. So let's give everything a shot. And we know, like, what are the odds all this peace and safety is getting announced around the dates that we're watching, guys? All right? Everything's being revealed at this time. Never give up hope.
They're still right, no matter what. We're right when we're wrong. When we're wrong, it doesn't matter. We're still right. Keep going.
We're close, guys. Keep looking up. Do not give up hope. He's coming to get us. And guys, if you're not saved, please go to my gospel video in the description of this video. Go get saved now, because time is...
And listen, I agree with you so much here, okay? This guy, I agree with him so much. Please, if you're not saved, get the gospel of Jesus Christ. Repent and believe in him. But when you take that gospel and you tie it to your false predictions, you make the gospel look foolish. And not the kind of thing where God, well, it's foolishness to the Gentiles. Yeah, but it's to the Gentiles it's foolish. It's not actual foolishness. Like, you make the gospel look like actual foolishness because you're tying it to false predictions about Jesus.
Running out. And you do not want to be here for tribulation. All right, guys, I love you all. And if I don't see you here, there, I'll see you in the air.
You see me on YouTube, so you're going to see me, buddy. 1 Corinthians 13:9. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. Boy, you cannot see that. Hold on. Hello? Will that help a little bit? Well, I did not line this up, apparently. Okay, we know in part. Well, that's going to have to work for now. We know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. What does it mean to prophesy in part and to know in part? To know in part means you know part of the truth, but not all of the truth. To prophesy in part means you prophesy part of the truth, but not all of the truth. What they're doing with this verse, and what I've seen charismatic movement do with this verse sometimes, not always, some charismatics are good and some are not on this topic. What I've seen them do is they say, hey, we got that prophecy wrong. Well, we prophesy in part. We sometimes prophesy in part, but that's like saying God gave you a word of knowledge and the word of knowledge was false. Well, I know in part. I got a word of knowledge from the Lord that you were cheating on your wife. Oh, you weren't cheating on your wife? Well, I know in part. Wait, no. You're in trouble, buddy. Like, you're in trouble now for doing that, saying that. You don't prophesy in part and prophesy falsely. That's not true. That is not how any of this works, one could say. There's some more clips we'll look at right now. Let's see. I'll go to the specific one where I'm being addressed. Okay, I'm being addressed. So let's look at that one now.
Yeah, Mike, you're a wonderful teacher. You love teaching all the different...
I'm going to bring up the volume a little bit on that. I can hear how low it is. This gentleman, very nice guy. I do not have a personal grievance or something like that. I want to talk about these issues because they're relevant and important, not because they're personal.
Aspects of theology, and that's great. But when you have these moments come up where you have a lot of people that are genuinely excited about...
Okay, I got to bring the volume up. I just had to find where it was by playing it for a second. All right. Boost it a good amount. Let's see how that goes.
Something. Mike, you're a wonderful teacher. You love teaching all the different aspects of theology, and that's great. But when you have these moments come up where you have a lot of people that are genuinely excited about something, they feel like it's coming from Scripture. That's where ours came from. But that...
We're still right. This is part of that. Ours came from Scripture. They felt like it, and ours did. Our prediction of the rapture did come from Scripture. No, it didn't, because you were wrong. This is an easy problem in math. Like, you were wrong, so it didn't come from Scripture.
We're not testimony driven here in our home. We're Bible driven, and a lot of this community is. And I think that's where I'm saying I feel that you've gone wrong. So you kind of put yourself in this position.
Okay, I want you to hear how he describes me, but I will just acknowledge, sir, I hear you, and I hear you as a brother, right? But I am going to push on this more because I want for your benefit. I desire for your benefit and the benefit of others, and you're influencing others. And the second any of us are influencing others, our personal hurt cannot be the primary thing, because the people we are influencing, they have to take precedent. This is why teachers are judged more strictly. I am judged more strictly. Y'all judge me more strictly. And that's actually, in principle, that's appropriate, because I'm impacting other people's lives in a big way. And so I take that very seriously. I will stand before Jesus for everything I say. And some of it will end up having been wrong. And I take that seriously. I don't want it to be wrong, but surely you talk this much, you're gonna get something wrong. But this idea of we are a house that stands on Scripture is like, I actually watched your videos talking about the prediction of the rapture, and it wasn't just Scripture. There was a lot of, I don't think you're aware of how much conjecture and stuff you're adding in there, and interpretations that are not clear in the text that you're adding. And then you did talk a whole lot about people's visions and their dreams and all that stuff. That was a big part of your prediction. So now you're saying we just did this based on Scripture, but I think that's not accurate.
Where you're the intercessor. You've got a big YouTube
presence. Right.
This is him. Yourself in this position.
This is him talking about what I've put myself in the position of. And this is interesting to hear and think about.
Position to where you're the intercessor. You've got a big YouTube presence, and you're terrifying everybody who's just trying to find pieces of Scripture that are pointing to this.
Am I terrifying everybody who's just trying to find pieces of Scripture that are pointing to the timing of Christ's return? No. I don't. I mean, maybe I'm terrifying you. I don't know if maybe you feel like that's kind of an exaggeration. I'm just like a guy talking on camera. I'm not going to do anything to you. It seems like a little bit extreme. I think maybe what you're saying is that there's individuals who you know, or maybe yourself, who feels like, I respect your opinion on these things. Doesn't make me the Pope. Doesn't mean I'm right all the time. But you have some respect for my opinion. And for me to come out against what you're doing right now directly feels very invasive. And it feels very sensitive. And it feels very, like, vulnerable. And I would say, that makes sense. I get that. It does feel that way. But that doesn't mean I'm terrifying you. You are teaching people publicly about the return of Christ. You have a great deal of accountability for that. You were wrong. I don't think I'm doing anything wrong here. I'm only addressing, bringing public accountability to public teachings. The level of our failure should be the level of our correction. The loudness of our mistake should be the loudness of our repentance. That's a good principle to have. And so, I don't think I'm doing that. I don't really believe I am, to be honest.
Signs that are pointing to it. Now, I understand your point is that you want no one to get excited, because then if they're let down, that hurts the body of Christ more.
Is that really my point? I don't want people excited because then they'll be let down and that will hurt the body of Christ. That's not my point, is it? My point is you shouldn't twist scripture. You shouldn't give false predictions. You shouldn't go against what God's word says about the timing of Christ's return. That's my point.
That we just disagree that that's the only outcome. Is that an outcome? Yes. Is that hurtful? Yes, of course it is. If a kid gets excited his dad's coming home and it was not the right car, of course the kid's let down.
He's going to give a whole analogy in the next video about, and this I heard from several different people in that community, in the Watchers community. They give these analogies about what Watchers are, what they think they're doing. And they're saying, we're just like kids running out going, is daddy home? I'm excited. Is daddy home? And then sometimes we go, oh, that wasn't his car. And we go back inside as if that's a good parallel for predicting the return of Christ, right? Let's talk about this analogy, because it's another euphemism being used to hide themselves from what they are doing. It's a big deal. It's a really big deal. You speak falsely in the name of God. You predict falsely, saying you get it from God's word. That's a really big deal. If you were in my church and I was your pastor, there would be church discipline involved. That's a very big deal. All right, here's that analogy. I heard it over and over again from people on this in this camp, right? In the Watcher community. This is what they think they're doing. They think what they're doing is totally innocent. In fact, they think it's even positive. It's even laudable. It's even wonderful, which is proof they will just do it again and again and again and again. There will be more rapture dates. There will be more fake rapture dates and more lack of repentance and a whole lot of people getting caught up and hurt in the midst. And how much do they care that people get hurt? Not a whole lot.
I think that there would be a difference if you had...
I got to boost the volume on this one too. Just a second. Just a second. And where is it though? Oh, audio settings. Here we go. Gain, boost. All right, here we go. Listen here.
One kid that was genuine. I think that there would be a difference if you had one kid that was genuinely excited for you to come home and ran out to meet you because they were looking for you, even if they were wrong a few times. I understand that. But if the other one is just laying on the couch sleeping or working on his business and too busy to look for my return, then I'm not going to sit there and say that that person was as excited.
There's like a high level of delusion going on in this community. I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry for how it sounds to hear me say this to you. I believe that this is true. If you think I'm doing this for some ulterior motive, you're making that up. I'm doing this for the sake of the body of Christ. Looking for Jesus's return is a good thing. Watching for Christ, biblically speaking, being ready for him to return because I'm busy working for him, that's a good thing. But your analogy of a kid who runs to the driveway to look for his dad, that's us, we're the watchers. We're run out going, rapture this Tuesday? No, oh, that's okay. Rapture next Tuesday? Oh, no, that's okay. Rapture this day? Oh, we're right. Oh, and Jesus goes, I love that you ran out to see me all the time. I love that you came out to see me and I wasn't there, but you looked. I think a better analogy is this. You got one kid who's in the house and they know dad's coming home and they're making sure to do their chores and they're making sure that their room is clean and they're making sure that their homework is done and they're making sure to be about the tasks that were written on the little whiteboard when dad left and said, here's the things I want you to do before I get home. And they're working hard to get these things done. They're serving Jesus by evangelizing and doing ministry and preparing for his coming by having their family taken care of, by being ready for him to return tomorrow or in 150 years so that they care about the institutions around them and the government around them. And they care about their neighbors and the long-lasting legacy that they might leave if they go to be with the Lord right now. They care about all that stuff, and they're working. And then you get the kid who's not doing that stuff because he's running out into the driveway, and it's worse. You're running out into the driveway, and you're bringing a whole bunch of other kids with you. You're telling everybody, stop what you're doing and run out into the driveway. Stop all the good work you're doing for Jesus and run out and expect his return. And you know what? Tell everybody, hey, all you non-believers, look at us. We're expecting Jesus. And then you run out in the driveway and he's not there. And so you go back in and you got your other brother here who's hard at work serving the Lord. And he tells you, you know, you should really get back to the task at hand. And you go, this is the task at hand. Running out into the driveway, bringing other people with me, distracting them from the job that they're doing, embarrassing myself and them and the name of the Lord in front of the world. That's my job. That's what I see happening in reality. It's not these two kids thing. I say all this because they're not just predicting the rapture wrong. They're doubling and tripling and quadrupling down. And this is their obsession. They're going to keep doing it again and again and again and again and again. And I can't stop them, but I think that a video like this will make their numbers diminish and will take, hopefully, a bunch of those kids running out into the driveway, and it'll put them back to work where they'll go, you know what? I should live as though Christ could come back at any time. But he might, but any time means he might come back long after I am dead. And so I better be hard at work preparing for a long haul and ready for a quick return. Both. I have to be ready for both. That's the only healthy thing to do as a Christian. Watching means doing the work of the Lord. Like you care. Like this world actually matters, right? And our impact in it really matters. So, man. I don't plan to do more. Oh, I want to show you guys. I meant to show you this earlier. This is the new date. This is the new date. He posted this just days ago. This picture was taken several days ago, but he posted this just days ago. This is Joshua Malakela's new date predicting the rapture. Hi, everyone. In the delay of the groom, Jesus, Matthew 25:5, Habakkuk 2:3, God has tested the hearts of people in the world. The separation of the wheat and tares has occurred. Guess who the wheat are? Tares are me. Wheat is the people who delusionally keep believing Joshua and his false predictions, even though he's demonically inspired. So this is him starting his cult, right? And he says here, God has exposed the manipulation of the times in the Gregorian and Julian calendars, right? Because that's why September 23rd and 25th wasn't really on September 23rd and 25th. Yeah, it all makes sense if you just close your eyes, plug your ears, and smash your head against the wall. On the 25th of September 2025, God told me, days from now, I will rapture my church. That is a lie in the name of God. That is blasphemy. That is taking God's name in vain. Right there. Monday night, in a vision, in a dream, Jesus spoke to me and said, the 14 to 15 days will pass. Then, on the 16th, 17th of October 2025, will be the rapture of the church. Now, what really happened is people online started saying, actually, Joshua, we found another calendar loophole. It's called the Enochian calendar. Do you guys want to hear about it? No, you don't. It's just dumb, okay? It's all garbage. But the Enochian calendar means that it's actually 16th, 17th. So he goes to bed after hearing the Enochian calendar, and he wakes up and he goes, Jesus just told me something new. He's a liar. He's fabricating these things. He just found someone online who did the work for him to find a loophole. It's not real. And then he pretended he had a dream. Matthew 10:27. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What I whisper in your ear, shout from the rooftop. Right? He's like, as if he's fulfilling Jesus's commands while he's making up false prophecies. Terrible. Then he goes on and says, September 23rd, 24th, 2025 in the Enoch calendar is the 16th and 17th of October in the Gregorian calendar. Guess what, guys? I was right all along. The rapture will still happen on September 23rd, not the initial September 23rd, not the second September 23rd, which was October 6th, not those, but the third September 23rd, which is October 16th, today, right now, it's rapture day. Nothing has happened. How did I know? I just knew that God's word was being abused, and that's all I had to know that this stuff was not real, that these visions and dreams, that all these things were not from God. All I had to know is his word was being abused. I listened carefully for how these prophets used scripture, for how these videos interpreted the Bible. I listened carefully for it, and it was obviously wrong. And I shared this in multiple videos, and I've never heard a person respond to it in that camp. Not in a responsible way. They act like they did no harm. They act like it was no big deal. I was just, you know, trying to encourage people. Shervin Yosefian is another guy, an example of a pastor who absolutely predicted the rapture, who absolutely pointed to dreams and visions and math and calculations, who absolutely misinterpreted scripture, and then later has been telling people, I didn't really mean it that way. That's dishonest, sir. You're a super nice guy. You're very friendly. You smile. You make people, you have a great way about you, and that's all good qualities. But you shouldn't be using those things to hide lies. Accountability means repent, learn the lesson, and we'll absolutely forgive and welcome you guys with gracious, open arms. But as long as you remain in ongoing danger of someone who plays games with the name of Christ, we have to mark and avoid you. I think you should mark and avoid every single person that is predicting the rapture. I hope they're my brothers. I hope that somehow they're still saved underneath it all. I don't think Joshua is, but I don't know. I don't know all these guys. I don't know all the stories of all their own hearts, but I know that this is a situation for church discipline, and it should happen in those environments. I believe that's what should happen. So this has been the Rapture live stream. Are you all still here? Can anybody in the chat just speak up? If you were raptured, just put like a thumbs up in the chat if you went up to heaven while I was talking just now. And maybe I was left behind because I'm a mocker and scoffer. There are so many layers of deception going on here. Twisting of scripture, fake visions, confirmations where it's like, I saw a yellow car a lot recently. Like that kind of confirmation, that was also happening. Dreams that may have been self-induced. Jeremiah talks about dreams that come from a person's own desires and own heart. You're dreaming your own dreams, so that can also happen. But you guys have to get off the rapture wheel. Get back to the work of the kingdom. And that means long-term planning, so that when Jesus comes back, he sees that you were all about his kingdom and advancing it up until the moment when he came to take you home. And you're ready. You're ready for it. So that was the rapture stream. Is there, let's see, I'm going to check before we go. I want to know what time is it in Jerusalem right now. It is 6:32 a.m. on October 17th in Jerusalem right now. So it's probably not October 18th yet anywhere. So somebody out there is going, like, this is the crazy thing. They act like they just got people excited, but there are people right now who are like literally sitting there waiting to be caught up, who've been waiting all day. If they haven't started doubting yet, eventually they'll start doubting. Maybe that was wrong again. And then it puts them in a tailspin. It can at least put them in an absolute tailspin, destroy their faith. Do not lose your faith. The Bible said this was a bad idea all along. You're just finding out the Bible was right all along and you were misinterpreting it. So hold fast, yes, but hold fast to the truth and not to delusions. All right, guys, that's all I got to say. God bless you. Let's pray. Oh, you're still here? Nope. Some people are actually, hold on. Whoa, check it out. We have a bunch of people that have been raptured while I said this. I think I may have gotten this wrong. And I don't care if you call me a mocker and scoffer. There are things that are mock and scoff worthy, and it's entirely appropriate to do so. God does it. And so, yes, we just don't mock God. And it is a mockery of his word to twist it and use it to bring false predictions. Because Jesus will come back. He will come back. And he will judge the living and the dead. And he will set up his kingdom. And he will be glorified for all eternity. And every single person will have to bow and admit that Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And this is going to happen. But you make it look like it's just silly, like it's a superstition with these false predictions. So repent, apologize, right? Figure out where you went wrong, fix that problem, and then rejoin the local church and get involved and don't give up hope and look to God's grace to cover it because there's absolutely enough grace for you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth of it. We thank you for the fact that in the scriptures, we have protection from all this stuff if we just pay attention. And we pray that the larger body of Christ around the world would be ready for these rapture predictions that are going to keep coming, and that they wouldn't gain traction, they wouldn't gain momentum because we're going to actually stick to scripture and not distort it and not twist it and not take it out of context. May we have the wisdom to see what time we are in, Lord, but not the foolhardy attitudes of constantly trying to predict the time of your return. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.